is starting to lose it. His shoulders shake, and silent laughter wheezes out of him. Max pulls the curtain aside and steps in the room. We all stop pretending and stand right in front of the counter, waiting for Max's reaction. "What the?" Max exclaims. Then we all lose it. Tony's laughter is loud, Kevin is busting up, and I'm right there with him. Max pulls the curtain all the way open and starts laughing, too. "That was a good one. Mike Oxlong. How did I not realize?" He bends over laughing, clutching his knees.
"Mr. Oxlong, I'm coming in, sir."
Tony mimics Max's professional voice, and that triggers another round of laughter from all of us.
"I have to say, Dr. Morgan's involvement totally threw me off."
Max looks at me, wiping tears from his eyes. "I was told you are not usually in on the pranks around here."
"Oh, she usually isn't,"
Tony agrees, still chuckling. Max's eyes sparkle at me with mirth, and I'm dying to touch him, even just to lay my hand on his arm. My body buzzes with energy.
"Well, I give her an A+,
Max says.
"I must agree,"
Kevin says.
"Don't give her all the credit,"
Tony says.
"It's my blow-up doll."
"Your porn, too," I remind him. "Go shut that off."
"Yes, oh Lord Director, as you wish."
He bows exaggeratedly and heads into the room to turn off his cell. We all go in to clean up and get rid of the evidence. It feels good to be a part of this. Max catches my eye and gives me the best smile. My insides clench at the thought of our date tonight. 6 o'clock can't come soon enough.
Max. The ER buzzes with laughter for the rest of my shift. I have a feeling I'm not going to live down Mike Oxlong for a while. It was pretty hilarious. Kevin warned me about practical jokes, but I was on the lookout for Dr. Rossetti, not Monica. Ever since I started here, I've noticed how the staff seem to think of Monica as rigid, ultra-professional, and so serious. Having met her the way I did, I know there is more to her than that. That sexy, carefree goddess at the club is hiding under this stiff exterior. Now that she was a part of the practical joke, everyone looks at her in a new light. They're actually including her in jokes instead of clamming up when she walks by. She looks different, too. Happier. Lighter, somehow. I just want to pull her into the closet and kiss her senseless. My hands itch to touch her. 1 more hour, and then we will be done with work, and I get her to myself tonight. I pull out my phone to text her. Me. We're still on for tonight, right? Monica.
Yes, what are we doing?
On short notice, I couldn't plan anything too fancy, and though I want to respect her wishes and go slow, I also want my hands on her. On my way to work yesterday, I found a place 2 blocks away that gives dance lessons, and I figured that would be the most socially acceptable way to touch her in public. Plus, we met at a club, and I loved watching her body move. There is no way she can dance like that and not enjoy dancing. I'm hoping she likes this idea. Me. Did you bring a change of clothes or do you need to go home? Monica.
I have clothes with me.
Me. Excellent. I'll meet you at your office at 6:15. Monica.
Okay. Won't you tell me what we're doing?
Me. First, I'm going to feed you. Monica.
So far, so good. And second?
Me. It's a surprise. Monica.
Can you give me a hint?
Me. It involves me touching you and you touching me. This is technically true. I pocket my phone and see her at a computer station across the way. She looks up at me and blushes. Yep. She is totally thinking about touching me. Kevin approaches me, smiling. Rossetti got you good. Consider yourself an official member of the ER. A laugh escapes me. I wasn't official before. Nah, it takes humiliation to become part of this gang. We laugh. I'm still impressed by Dr. Morgan, though. I've worked in this ER a long time, and this is the first time she has joined in on a practical joke instead of breaking it up. You must be special. Or maybe she's been a practical jokester all along and is finally comfortable enough in her role to join in on the fun. It has to be tough to be such a young director. I can't help trying to defend her and deflect Kevin's thoughts away from me being special to Monica.
You're right. I never really thought of it that way. It was nice to see that side of her today.
I must agree, I say, honestly. What needs to be done before the end of our shift? There's no way I want to be late tonight. The end of a shift is always a bit chaotic, as the next shift of nurses starts 30 minutes before we leave so we can give report. After stopping by to see each of my patients one last time and reviewing all of them with the next nurse, I go to the locker room to get my things. The hospital provides the scrubs and launders them for us, so I freshen up, get changed, and drop the dirty scrubs in one of the hampers. On my way to Monica's office, I take a deep breath. I'm not nervous, just extremely excited. My watch reads 6:10, so I slow my pace. Her office is a bit farther away from the ER than I would expect, but she is the director, and it's a nice size. As I approach, I hear a male voice inside. Feeling strangely possessive, I speed up the pace, no longer caring if I'm early.
"You look lovely tonight, Monica," the man says. He has a thick Indian accent.
"Thank you, Dr. Patel," Monica says.
"Do you have a date tonight?"
She hesitates.
I'm going out with a friend. What are you up to tonight?
I was going to see if I could interest you in joining me for dinner.
Oh, hell no. I need to get in there. I knock loudly on the door.
"Come in,"
Monica says quickly. I walk inside and find an older Indian man standing in front of Monica's desk. She stands quickly and smiles at the sight of me. This makes me feel better, and I smile in return.
"Max, meet Dr. Patel. Dr. Patel, this is Max Spencer."
"Hi, Dr. Patel, nice to meet you."
I give him a firm handshake. Kind brown eyes meet mine, and he smiles widely back at me. It is difficult not to notice the large nose taking up a considerable portion of real estate on his face, and the sour body odor that wafts my way as he moves his arm up and down while shaking my hand.
"Ah, Max, is it? I'm so glad to see Monica is going out tonight. I keep telling her those frozen dinners are not good for her. I hope you are taking her someplace nice."
"I will make sure she gets a proper dinner," I tell him. This seems safe enough. But I know Monica doesn't want anyone at work to think we're dating, so I'm torn between making my intentions known and downplaying my interest. I look to Monica for guidance. She collects her purse and stands.
"Are you ready, Max?"
she asks me.
"Yes, should we go?"
I'm still nervous to say the wrong thing in front of Dr. Patel, and the sooner we get out of here, the better.
"Have a nice night, Dr. Patel. See you next week."
"Good night, Monica and Max."
Dr. Patel waves us off.
"You young people need to go have some fun and stop working so much."
"Nice to meet you, sir." I nod to him on our way out of the office, and we walk side by side down the long corridor. "Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your conversation," I tell Monica.
"I'm glad you did. Poor Dr. Patel asks me out on a regular basis. He means well, and he is the kindest person, but it's just not there."
"He seems really nice, though."
"That's the thing, he's so kind. When I was a student here, I worked with him during one of my clinical rotations. He was such a huge help to me and really believed in me. I'm not sure I'd be where I am now without his encouragement and support."
"It's good to have people like him in your corner."
"Yes, it is."
She turns and smiles at me.
"Enough about Dr. Patel. Where are you taking me?"
I welcome the subject change. "There's this Mexican restaurant I have been meaning to try since I moved. Every time I pass it, the food smells so good. Do you like Mexican food?"
"Do you mean qué pasa?"
she asks. "Yes, have you been there?" I hope I haven't picked a dump.
"I love that place. It's one of my favorite places to eat around here."
"Well, great." I smile. We reach the doors to exit the hospital, and she turns toward the parking garage. "How about if we walk? It's only 5 minutes from here, and it's such a nice night," I suggest. Evenings in July are perfect for walking outside. There's that, and the fact that I don't have a car. The places I chose for tonight are within walking distance. I don't want to admit to her that I don't have a car if I can get away with it.
Sure. Finding a parking spot would probably take longer than it would for us to walk there anyway, she agrees.
We walk in comfortable silence for a minute. Then I hear her start to chuckle. I look over at her and she starts laughing out loud. What? I reach up to wipe my mouth, then my nose. Do I have something on my face?
Just thinking about Mike Oxlong.
She covers her mouth with her hand to try to stifle her giggles. You're pretty proud of yourself, aren't you? I ask.
I kind of am,
she admits. I'm kind of proud of you, too.
Chapter 7. So, Monica. The aroma of delicious food surrounds us before we actually get to Kaypasa, and my stomach growls loudly. It smells so good. I can't wait to try one of everything, Max comments as we walk up to the door. Luna greets us at the hostess stand. Hola, Monica! Hi, Luna. I see you brought a friend with you tonight. Will you guys be joining us for dinner? She asks me. I look at Max. Yes, we have a reservation for two under Max Spencer, he tells her. Perfecto. Come right this way to your table. She grabs two menus and leads us to the dining room. The restaurant is divided into two main sections, a large bar with loud music and a handful of high-top tables surrounding it, and a dining room with quieter Latin music playing in the background. She brings us two glasses of water and bowls of chips with salsa, then leaves us to look over the menu. I'm so glad you chose this place. I was just craving their enchiladas today, I tell Max. He's looking over the menu so I can admire him, unnoticed. What he's wearing is nothing special, a blue polo shirt and jeans, but the way they hug his body in all the right places makes him look amazing. The color of the shirt brings out the blue in his eyes, and those tattoos peek out from under the short sleeves of his shirt. I want to trace them and see where they lead me. I'm so hungry I want to order this whole menu. You should get their sampler platter so you can try a bit of everything, I suggest. Perfect. He puts his menu down and meets my eyes with a smile. The server comes over to greet us and takes our order. So, he says once the waitress is gone, I laugh at the generic opening we seem to use every time we sit down across from each other like this. So, tell me about Monica Morgan, he commands. You already know the basics. What else do you want to know? I hate talking about myself. What was 16-year-old Monica like? He asks. Of course, he would ask me that. Well, this might surprise you, but I was a bit of a wild one as a teenager. I'm not quite sure why I'm telling him about this. I usually keep that part of my life closed in the past. No way! You weren't a bookworm in high school? He asks, surprised. No. My dad was very strict, and I hated how claustrophobic he made me feel. He set limits, and I pushed every one of them. I like this story. Tell me more. He props his chin on his hand and settles in, getting ready for a long story. What does your dad do for a living? He is a doctor, a cardiac surgeon. Wow. Did you become a doctor to be like him? I snort. No. My dad and I, we aren't close. I leave it at that, not wanting to get into all the reasons I don't get along with my father. Tell me about your mom. What is she like? He probes. Telling people my mom is dead is always so awkward. My mom was amazing. She was my biggest cheerleader and my best friend. Was. Max picks up on the use of past tense. Did she pass away? Yes, she died when I was 19. Well, that sucks. He blows out a breath. I can tell he's sorry he asked me about it, but I'm glad to get it out of the way. Yep, it really does. I agree. Tell me your favorite memory of your mom. I think back. I loved to watch my mom dance. She was a professional dancer, although she stopped once she married my dad. She used to give dance lessons, though, and she taught me how to dance almost as soon as I could walk. I smile, thinking back to when I was a young girl trying to mimic her movements. I like watching you dance, and it makes sense now. When I saw you dancing at Club Bailar, you seemed to be connected to the music. Did you ever want to be a dancer? No, dancing is a release for me, a hobby. I could never turn it into a job. It would suck all the fun out of it. I can understand that. You mentioned you rarely go out dancing anymore. Why is that? I blow out a big breath. I don't know. I don't seem to have the time these days, even if I had the desire.
And you don't have the desire?
He looks at me seriously, daring me to tell the truth. I guess I worry about what other people think. I'm afraid it's inappropriate for me to let loose in a place like Club Bailar.
You think the other doctors and heads of other departments don't have hobbies?
No, I know they do. It's just, my dad never really took dancing seriously. Once I became a doctor, he always told me how inappropriate it was for me to be seen at a club, and the board of directors is made up of a lot of men that are just like my father. To them, reputation is everything.
But take the social stigma out of the equation. Do you enjoy dancing?
Yes, I still like to dance, I admit. He beams at me like I gave him the correct answer on a test. The server carries a tray of food to our table and places the plates in front of us.
Can I get you anything else?
No, thank you. We decline.
So how did wild 16-year-old Monica decide she wanted to be a doctor?
Max asks me as he starts to eat his food. My mom always told me I was destined to do great things. At the time, I just kind of rolled my eyes and assumed she was wrong.
The general rule when you're 16.
Exactly. But then she died in the emergency room after being in a car accident, and the ER staff was so amazing during that ordeal, despite its bad outcome. It inspired me to want to help other people.
Well, that's taking a negative and turning it into a positive,
he says. It didn't happen overnight. It took me a while to get there, but I knew it would make my mom proud.
Was it our ER?
He asks. No, we lived in Chicago growing up. I moved to Ohio for college and just never left. I finish my first enchilada and realize he has already eaten half of his plate.
Wow, I'm guessing you like it.
He puts a hand on his stomach.
Sorry, I tend to inhale my food. It's all so good.
Now I want to know about 16-year-old Max Spencer.
I was pretty boring, he tells me.
I don't believe that for one second.
It's true. My dad left when I was 6.
I'm sorry. It's my turn to feel awkward now. That must have been hard.
I think it was for the best. I don't remember too much about him, but what I do remember wasn't good,
he tells me. My heart squeezes at the thought of his dad not treating him well. Do you have any siblings?
I have 2 younger sisters, Ella and Chloe.
He smiles when he says their names. Are you guys close?
I always wished for siblings.
We are. I've been working since I was old enough to get a worker's permit when I was 14 to help my mom with the bills. When I wasn't working, I was babysitting the girls, cooking dinner, and helping them with homework. We became a team.
I envision a young Max assuming the role of man of the house. He was taking care of everyone around him at such a young age. It's no wonder he makes such a good nurse. That sounds hard.
It was at times, but what else was I going to do?
He shrugs good-naturedly. Well, you could have gone out with your friends and disappeared into a bottle. I think back to my teenage antics and feel a bit of shame. I had it pretty easy at home and didn't appreciate it at the time.
Nah, I occasionally drank with my friends Logan and Charlie, but we were pretty good kids. Besides, my mom would have kicked my ass if I got out of line.
He licks his finger to catch some dripping taco sauce, and the sight of his tongue hijacks my attention. I look back up to his eyes, and he smiles.
Any guesses on where we're going after this?
Hmm, you didn't give me very many clues.
What were they again?
Touching, right. How could I forget?
Are we going to your place?
Nope. Try again. He shakes his head, biting his lip. My libido wakes up and all I can do is stare at his lips.
My place?
I ask hopefully.
He laughs. You keep looking at me like that and I may beg you to take me back to your place. But that is not a part of the agenda tonight, he says pointedly.
No sex tonight? Really?
Okay, then. Where are we going? I give up.
I can't think of anywhere we'd be going where we can touch each other.
Let's go and I'll just show you. It's almost time, anyway, he says.
He places cash on the table and I feel like I should offer to pay, but he's already paid and I don't want to make it awkward. As we walk to the door, I feel his hand on my lower back and his touch gives me goosebumps.
Cold? He asks.
No. I look over my shoulder at him. He stares down at me, and even though we just ate, he looks hungry again. We make our way out of the restaurant, and once we're on the sidewalk, he takes my hand, pulls me around the corner, and backs me up against the building.
Can I kiss you, Monica?
I nod and meet his mouth. He tastes of Mexican spices and Max, an intoxicating combination that makes me want more. He wraps me up in his arms and pulls me close, surrounding me with his big body. I feel safe. I feel savored. Slow, gentle kisses make me dizzy, and I grab his strong shoulders to hold on. He pulls back abruptly, and I chase his mouth with my own, going up on my tiptoes to try to continue the kiss. He chuckles and buries his face in my shoulder.
As much as I want to keep kissing you, we're going to be late.
What? My brain has scattered with that kiss, so much so that I can't find my words.
I thought this was the part where we get to touch,
I complain.
It is. Come on.
He tugs my hand and I follow after him. We head around the block and I see it. A dance studio. I've passed by this place a million times on my way to work, and tonight the window boasts that it's salsa night.
We're going to salsa? I ask Max.
Yes, we are going to salsa. He nods confidently, and I'm surprisingly excited at the thought of doing this with him.
Max. I think Monica likes the idea. She hasn't run away from me yet, so that's a plus. Dinner was a hit, and that kiss set my body on fire. Although it pained me to stop, I'm glad I had a reason to. I'm so attracted to this woman, I tend to go from zero to I need to get inside you in 5 seconds flat. She asked you to take it slow, I remind myself. Slow. We step in front of the door and I turn to her. What do you say? Want a salsa with me? I give her my best puppy dog eyes. She laughs.
Have you ever done this before?
No. You can watch me make a fool of myself. How about you?
Yes. I know how to salsa, but it's been forever. We may both make fools of ourselves.
Sounds like fun. Let's do this. I reach my hand out toward hers and she takes it. With our fingers intertwined, we walk into the studio. When I called earlier, the instructor informed me that tonight is learn and dance night. They start with a dance lesson to teach the basic salsa moves, and then the studio turns into a club where anyone can dance for a small cover charge at the door. There aren't too many other couples here tonight, probably about 10 other people. My focus is only on Monica. She is a natural dancer. Her hips know just how to sway, and her movements are so graceful. My movements, on the other hand, feel awkward and clumsy, but I'm relieved to find that I'm not the worst dancer here. Monica's cheeks are flushed, and she smiles as the instructor praises her. Even though she's far better than I am, I'm having fun. She is too, I can tell. She looks completely in her element, vibrant and happy. I miss a step, and Monica laughs, then falls back into step with me, correcting for my blunder. I keep my hands on her the entire time, sometimes on her hips, feeling them move, and sometimes on her hands, guiding her around the dance floor. I attempt a spin, and we get it right. Seeing the way she moves her body while dancing makes me want to take her to bed. She is so effortlessly sexy, and this strain of thought needs to end now because my cock starts to get hard, making my pants tighter. Slow it down, Max. Just as we're getting into a good groove, they announce that the lesson is over and they're going to open the doors for open dance. As the lights dim and the music gets louder, we take a break to have some water. It seems to be a popular night because people start to trickle into the studio and start dancing. Are you having fun? I ask her, lowering my mouth to her ear so she can hear me. She nods and smiles.
I really am. Thank you for bringing me here.
It was purely selfish on my part, I tell her.
Selfish? She asks.
I nod. Dancing is the most publicly acceptable way for me to get my hands on you, I confess. She flushes.
When you texted me that clue, I had a very different idea of how this night would go.
You're setting the pace, okay? I'd love to have my wicked way with you tonight, but I want you to be 100% certain you're ready for that step. She looks into my eyes and her expression softens.
Thank you, she whispers.
I lean down and kiss her lips softly. Come on, let's dance so I can touch you some more. We make our way to the dance floor and I'm reminded of that first night we met. Monica looks amazing tonight in a turquoise top that clings to her breasts, then sways over her waist. Black slacks hug her hips and thighs, and silver sandals show off her purple toenails. She looks young and sexy. I pull her close so our legs slot together while we move to the music, and her hips brush up against my crotch, causing my dick to chub up again. I hold onto her waist, feeling her muscles move under my hands. I want to see her do this naked. She feels my erection and looks up at me, smiling seductively. That look. It's so powerful, I feel it in my cock. There's my sexy goddess. She has me hypnotized with her eyes. I'm not sure if we're still salsa dancing, but I like the feel of her in my arms too much to care. Sweat drips down my back, and my body is screaming to get closer to hers. Dancing like this is pretty much foreplay. My body is revved up and ready, and I need to remind my dick that sex is not on the agenda tonight. When her hands move from my shoulders down the front of my chest to rest on my stomach, I can't help but want her to move them lower. She keeps her hands where they are, and I relish her touch as we maintain eye contact, the moment intimate. Time flies while we're dancing, and before I know it, they announce the last song. A slow song starts, and we slow our movements to match, but that doesn't diminish our connection. If anything, it makes it more intense. My cock is rock hard, and there is no way it's going down by the end of this song either, not with the way Monica is looking at my mouth. The need to kiss her is so strong, it feels like I won't be able to breathe unless my lips are touching hers. I lower my head so my mouth hovers in front of hers. Her sweet breath touches my lips and she leans forward ever so slightly. Then my mouth is on hers and my hands are in her hair, holding her head right where I want it. She moans, and though I can't hear it over the music, I feel it. My cock pulses, desperately wanting friction. The song comes to an end all too soon. Mercifully, they don't turn the lights back on, but they do announce that it's time to go. We collect Monica's purse from the locker they supplied before the lesson and make our way outside. I can see her face under the streetlight, and it's the picture of arousal. Her pupils are dilated, her lips are swollen from my kisses, and her nipples are poking through her thin top. Fuck. I desperately want to pinch those nipples and suck on them. She stares at my mouth.
Do you need to go home?
She asks me. Do you want me to go home? I ask her.
No.
She shakes her head.
I want you to come home with me.
She surprises me with her response, and my eyes widen. Are you sure? She nods and meets my gaze.
Yes.
That's all I need to hear.
Chapter 8. You Are a Goddess. Monica. The drive home is a test of sanity. It took forever for us to even make it to my car because we couldn't keep our hands off of each other long enough to walk. I rack my brain trying to remember if I left my bedroom clean this morning or not. Bringing Max to my place tonight was not part of my plan, but my body has other ideas. I need his body. We don't talk on the 15-minute drive to my house, enduring the separation silently. My heart is racing a mile a minute, and my skin feels agitated, not to mention the state of my panties. They are so wet, there may be a spot on my car seat. I pull in my driveway, push the button on the garage door opener, and park the car in the garage. As soon as the engine is off, I turn to Max and reach for him. We kiss in the car until there isn't enough room anymore. After he bumps his head on the ceiling twice, I pull away and get out. He meets me in front of the hood and we kiss again, desperately. He leans down, palms my ass, and lifts me to the top of my car. My legs wrap around his hips and I feel his erection. It's hard. So hard. I wonder what it looks like, what it feels like, what it tastes like. He grinds his pelvis into me, hitting just the right spot, but damn it, my clothes are in the way. I let out a groan of frustration. Come with me. I slide down the hood of the car, grab his hand, and pull him to the door into my house. After turning off the alarm, I practically drag him inside. Max chuckles at my rush. Hey, where's the fire? I stop in the kitchen and turn to look at him. Desire robs me of my words, and I just end up staring at him, panting. His smile fades, and he nods in understanding. Let me take care of you. Yes. He steps close to me and looks into my eyes. Tell me what you want. Seriously, I can't think straight right now, but he's staring at me, waiting. Touch me, Max. Please. I back up and lean against the island in the center of my kitchen for support. He leans down and kisses my mouth softly. Arms up, he instructs as he reaches for the bottom of my shirt and pulls it up over my head. I comply. Goosebumps erupt on my skin, but I'm not cold. Not at all. He stares down at me, sitting in my bra and pants, eating me up with his gaze. The backs of his fingers graze my nipples, and they tingle and harden even more, begging for his attention. You are so beautiful, he whispers. He reaches behind me, touches the clasp of my bra, and looks at me for permission before unclasping it. I nod, shakily. He undoes the clasp, and my bra loosens, falling forward. My breasts feel heavy, achy, and they sway softly as he pulls the straps down my arms and off of my body. His jaw clenches as he looks at my nipples. I wish I were the kind of woman that could pull off dirty talk, but I can barely keep myself standing, let alone come up with some suave command to ask him to lick my nipples. The sound of my breathing ratchets up and fills the quiet room. My breasts move up and down with each breath I take, and I need him to touch them. I think he's a mind reader because he does just that. He kneels down, and this puts him at eye level with my chest. My hands hold on to the edge of the island behind me, and I arch forward, silently telling him what I need. Warm hands start to caress me with feather-light touches. More. I need more. His hands mold to my breasts, as if he is a blind man trying to get a picture of their shape in his mind. Then he lifts them up, weighing them. Oh, God. His thumb and forefinger end up at my nipple, and he pinches them suddenly. I gasp, startled by the sensation. My nipples are directly connected to my clit, and with each pinch and pull of my nipples, my center starts to throb and ache. The attention to my chest is no longer enough. My thighs shift, trying to soothe the ache between my legs. My pants, I think, take my pants off. Instead of reaching for my pants, he licks one nipple. He works it with his tongue, long swipes followed by nips and bites with his teeth, while he continues to play with my other nipple with his fingers. I'm bombarded by sensation, and my legs begin to quiver. He shifts across, licking the other nipple with his tongue and rolling the wet nipple with his fingers. Oh, God, I gasp. He pulls off my chest with a loud pop and looks up at me. Can I take your pants off, Monica? Fucking hell, does he have to ask? Yes, it's barely audible. I'm breathing so loud and so fast, I may hyperventilate. Later, I can be embarrassed about how turned on I am. Right now, I need relief. There is no room for embarrassment. He reaches down and takes off my shoes first. Then he undoes the button of my pants and pulls the zipper down, the sound loud and erotic. Grabbing both my pants and underwear at the same time, he rids me of the last articles of clothing I had on. I am now completely naked in my kitchen with Max Spencer, who is fully clothed and staring at my naked body. Somehow this makes me even hotter. Christ, Monica, I could come just looking at you. You are a goddess. I actually whimper. He picks me up and sets me on the island. Lie down, he instructs. I do as he says, and my back meets the cold granite. I'm so hot, though, and it feels good. It's a relief to lie back, my legs too shaky to hold me up. One large hand rests on my stomach as the other dips down into my pussy. The sound of his finger sliding through my wetness is more than erotic. It's obscene. Is this for me? He asks. I hope he doesn't want an answer because I have no words. My entire world is reduced to the feeling of his finger gliding through my wetness, finding my clit and flicking it. Ugh! I cry out, squirming. My clit is so sensitive, I want him to touch it, but not too much. Too much? He asks. I nod and sigh as he moves his finger down to trace my opening. Fucking hell. He is looking down, watching as he plays with me. I need to taste you. His bright blue eyes blaze with desperation. He really wants to. I nod jerkily. At this, he spreads my legs wide open, placing my feet on the edge of the counter, exposing me further to his gaze. I feel like I'm on display, vulnerable. I'm reminded of my dream, when he just looked at my most intimate parts. I feel myself become even wetter from the intensity of his stare. My core clenches, wanting relief. He takes a deep breath, closing his eyes as if the sight of me, bared to him, is too much. When he opens his eyes again, he tells me, "You have the prettiest pussy." Holy fuck. My dream is coming true, and reality is way hotter than I ever could have guessed. I don't think I've ever been this turned on in my entire life. He pulls up a bar stool right in front of me, as if getting ready to sit down for a meal. I close my eyes and try not to think too hard about this. Oral sex is so intimate, and not too many of my previous sex partners have enjoyed giving, so it isn't something I've gotten completely comfortable with. What if it smells bad down there? Shit, we danced all night and I was so sweaty. It has to smell bad down there. Plus, I didn't shave my pubic hair. What if he gets hair in his mouth? I should have showered. And where the hell are we? In my kitchen? I'll need to sanitize the counter when we're done. We should stop. The swipe of his wet tongue interrupts my thoughts. I can't control the moan that escapes me.
Fuck, Monica.
He groans. His strong hands push my thighs wider apart, and I feel his breath as he leans forward to lick me again. His tongue is flat, delivering broad swipes from my opening to my clit, making my head spin with sensation. I buck in response, my nerve endings firing.
Look at me, sweetheart. Look at what I'm doing to you.
He instructs. I prop myself up on my elbows so I can see. The image that greets me is enough fuel for all future masturbation sessions. My thighs frame this sexy man, and his hair is so dark in the dim light of my kitchen, but not his eyes. They are so blue around his dilated pupils. His face is tight with lust, gleaming wet from my arousal. Oh, God. He is covered in me, and he looks ravenous. He holds my gaze as he licks me again, and my head wants to fall back, but I'm transfixed by what I'm seeing. I keep my eyes on him, watching him feast on me. Slow licks change into open-mouthed kisses, and soon he simply buries his face in my pussy, groaning his delight. My gaze snags on my nipples, and I look down at my breasts. They fall to the sides a bit in this position, swaying with each breath. My nipples start to tingle, the tips harden, and I become distracted. I want his hands on them again. He notices what I'm looking at. Touch them, he tells me, his voice husky. My breath stutters. Me? Pinch them. I want to see you touch yourself. I hesitate. He stands up suddenly and leans over my body, with all his clothes still on. He closes one hand around each breast and brings them to his mouth, one at a time. He licks one, then the other, teasing the hard peaks. Fuck. Yes. The attention to my breasts makes my clit begin to throb. I wrap my legs around his waist and grind into him, seeking friction. I need to come, but his penis is trapped behind his pants, and I can't find the right angle. I want you to touch your nipples while I make you come with my tongue, Monica. That sounds like the best idea ever. He takes my hands and pulls them up to my nipples, then goes back to devouring my pussy. My hesitation disappears, and I play with my breasts, pinching, pulling, and rolling the tips around as I need more sensation. Yes, my hips writhe back and forth uncontrollably. He touches my opening with two fingers and begins to pump them in and out of me as he touches my clit. Oh, my God, Max. I'm moaning. I'm groaning. I'm a pile of wanton desperation. I feel my orgasm approach and I chase after it, pinching my nipples hard. Max sucks on my clit and torques his fingers inside me, and the extra sensation is enough to push me over the edge. Pleasure slams into me and I close my eyes, not able to focus on anything but this feeling. My pussy spasms around his fingers. His tongue slows, soothing me down from my orgasm, caressing my stomach with his free hand. When I stop pulsing, he withdraws his fingers and gives me one more soft lick. I buck up. So sensitive from just coming. Oh, my. Max Spencer is a sex god. He stands up, wipes his mouth, and leans over me. Monica, you are the sexiest woman I have ever seen. His hands smooth my hair away from my face. I smile up at him and kiss him. He tastes like me, but I don't care. The reminder of what he just did to me makes the kiss that much more intimate. The cloud of pleasure fades, and the fact that he is still fully clothed begins to bother me. I want to see him. Touch him. I want to watch him lose control. My turn.
Max. My cock practically cries with relief at her statement. Watching Monica unravel, her own fingers playing with her tits, my tongue on her clit, and my fingers buried in her pussy was the hottest fucking experience. She gets down off the island shakily, and I steady her with my hands on her hips, her luscious, full hips. She takes my hand and pulls me down the hall to her bedroom. The surroundings don't even register as I can't take my eyes off the naked goddess in front of me. She flicks on a lamp on her nightstand, illuminating the room with a dim light.
"You are wearing way too many clothes," she tells me. "I need to see you."
"Not a problem. My clothes feel too restrictive right now anyway." I strip, taking everything off. My cock bobs, jutting out in front of me as if trying to get closer to her. I stand still, making no move to touch her. She looks me over, starting at my head, then my chest, eyes lingering on my tattoos. Then she sees my cock and stares. My cock jerks from her attention and she gasps. "Fuck. Monica, you're killing me here. Please, touch me." "Yes, I'm begging." She looks up at me, eyes glowing with desire, and pushes me back on the bed. I sit back, reaching out to position her in front of me. Her hands settle on my shoulders and move down my chest. I lean up to catch her lips in a kiss, but she backs away and I groan. "Touch me." Her hands move down my stomach, feeling my abs. Leaning back on my hands, I give her full access to my body. She licks her lips, and I can't help but imagine those perfect full lips wrapped around my cock. Shit. My cock jerks again at the thought, and she chuckles.
"It's like he's trying to get my attention," she says.
"He is," I agree. She wraps one hand around my erection as she lowers herself to kneel in front of me. Fucking hell. I'll be amazed if I last more than a few seconds. She gives it a tentative tug, and I moan. This makes her smile. "You're enjoying torturing me, aren't you?" Her cheeks pink at my statement.
"I want to make you feel good, Max. Tell me what to do. How do you like this?"
I wrap my hand around hers and guide it up and down, my grip stronger than hers. Her eyes widen at the sight of my hand, helping her jerk me off, and I love that she's turned on by watching this. Pre-cum glistens at the tip. Before I realize what she's about to do, she leans down and licks it off my cock. "Fuck, Monica," I pant. She stares at my erection and leans down to lick it again, this time moving our hands out of the way and starting at the base. When she gets to the tip, she opens her mouth and sucks me in. My dick is surrounded by her wet mouth, her tongue lapping at the underside of my crown as if licking an ice cream cone.
"Ugh, your mouth is amazing."
I stand up to get a better angle. Fuck. The view of her, kneeling at my feet with my dick in her mouth and her eyes wide open, looking up at me, is enough to make me come. I clench my fists and bite my lip to hold off my orgasm. I'm going to come, and I don't want to assume that she's going to swallow. Her eyes are open, clouded with arousal, and she moans. The vibrations on my dick add another element of sensation.
"Wait, Monica."
I don't want to come just yet. She pulls back, leaving my dick wet with her saliva.
"Fucking hell. What's wrong?"
she asks, worried.
"Your mouth feels too good, baby. I'll come if you keep doing that." "Isn't that the point?"
She leans forward to lick my shaft again, and my cock jumps at her touch.
"You want me to come in your mouth?"
I clarify. If I get inside her mouth again, I won't last. Hazel eyes meet mine, and she nods.
"I want to taste you, Max."
"Damn."
She guides my cock back into her mouth, moaning when I start to thrust gently. The tingle starts, announcing my impending orgasm. I struggle to keep my eyes open, not wanting to miss one moment of this spectacular view. She takes me deeply and swallows. Oh, God! The back of her throat surrounds me with wet heat, and I'm lost.
Monica,
I warn. She moans and nods, giving me permission again. I stop trying to hold back, thrusting my cock in her mouth again and again until the orgasm takes over. My cock erupts in her mouth and she swallows, but not fast enough. My cum spills out, dripping down the sides of her face, and fuck if I don't like the look of it. She continues to suck, pulling more spasms of pleasure out of me. Once she has licked me clean, I fall back on the bed, panting and sated.
Jesus, Monica. That was amazing, I praise.
She joins me on the bed, looking proud of herself. Come here. I grab a tissue from the nightstand to wipe off her face, then kiss her. We're on our sides, facing each other, legs intertwined, chests touching. We're skin to skin for the first time. And it feels amazing. I taste myself in our kiss, but I don't care. It just reminds me that I was lucky enough to come in her mouth, and the memory makes me flush with heat. I wrap my arms around her, pulling her close, and she sighs. With cool sheets beneath me and Monica's soft curves splayed over my body, I feel a deep sense of contentment. Can I stay? I ask her. I want to, but just the other day she was telling me she wanted to go slow. Tonight I may have pushed her boundaries. I just can't imagine getting up and leaving right now.
You can stay, she whispers. I'm going to go to the bathroom, be right back.
She gets out of bed and I watch her voluptuous backside bounce as she walks to the bathroom connected to her bedroom. It's not until this very moment that my surroundings actually come into focus, and I look around at Monica's bedroom. The sheer size of this room is impressive. My whole apartment might be able to fit in here. Rich, dark wooden furniture decorates the space, complete with a love seat in the corner. The walls are decorated with beach-themed artwork. It's too dark to make everything out, but I see waves and sand. The sounds of the toilet flushing and water running come from the bathroom, and moments later Monica steps back into the bedroom. She is still naked, and seems less comfortable in her skin, more aware of her nakedness. Her arms hug her midsection, and I can tell she isn't sure if she should cover up or stay naked. I stand up and pull her into a hug. Can I use your bathroom?
Sure. I set a spare toothbrush on the counter.
Her bathroom is immaculate. Marble countertops gleam at me from a double vanity. A jacuzzi tub is nestled in one corner, and a walk-in shower, large enough for four people, sits in the other corner. Where is the toilet? There are three doors in this bathroom. I try the one next to the jacuzzi and find a walk-in closet. Door number two reveals a linen closet. Door number three is the winner. And I'm amazed that the toilet has its own separate room within the bathroom. The extravagant fixtures tell me what I already know. Monica Morgan is well off. I take a deep breath and let it out. That doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter. She knows I'm a nurse. I know she's a doctor, the fucking director. Of course she makes more money than I do. Still, I can't help picturing the modest apartment I haven't even had a chance to fully furnish yet. My bike, still chained to the post at the hospital because I don't even own a car. The thought makes my stomach churn. It's only money. Money isn't everything. After peeing, washing my hands, and brushing my teeth, I go back into her bedroom, sink into her massive bed, and wrap my body around hers. I lean my nose into her neck and inhale. We still smell of sex, and I love it. Good night, my goddess.
Good night, Max.
Monica Morgan was a quivering mess of desire tonight, all for me. I'm going to enjoy every bit of her attention while I have it. Because there is no way someone like me can end up with someone like her.
Chapter 9.
I bet he could help clear out the cobwebs down there, dear. Monica. Sunday is the next shift Max and I work together, post-mutually induced orgasms. Orgasms. Plural. Friday morning, we showered together before Max had to leave for work. The sight of him, so tall, muscles rippling and water dripping all over his taut body, was enough to get me close. Once he started soaping me up, it was all over. I came embarrassingly fast. After my legs stopped shaking, it was my turn to soap him up. There's no hiding in the shower. Every part of him was on display, and he is spectacular. My hands explored his body, slippery with soap, and by the time I reached his cock, it was rock hard and throbbing. It didn't take more than a few strokes to bring him to orgasm. What a sight that was, all straining muscles and deep groans, his face a picture of that heady combination of pain and pleasure. Oh, the memory makes me hot. Saturday, we didn't see each other. Max had plans with his mom, but he texted me throughout the day. Each time my phone alerted me to a new message and I saw his name, butterflies let loose in my stomach, and my heart fluttered. Jesus, I feel like a teenager. The thought of working with him today makes me jittery with nerves and anticipation. Will he act differently toward me? Will I be crushed?